Closing out the new year with an impasse. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. We are 10 days into the partial government shutdown. About 420,000 federal employees have been working without pay since the shutdown began. Another 380,000 have been furloughed, also without pay. The sticking point, whether or not the spending bill should include funding for a wall, a fence, or steel slats, or additional security along our border with Mexico. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra has been following this. And Marielle, have we seen any movement?
Some, but it doesn't look too promising right now. So before Christmas, the Senate passed a spending bill that had no funding for the wall, but President Trump and some other Republicans insisted on that funding. So then the House passed its own spending bill and included more than $5 billion for the wall. That bill had no chance in the Senate. And since then, there have been some negotiations. The vice president floated a deal that had $2.5 billion for border security, including fences. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, that is, said, we'll give you $1.3 billion. Senator Lindsey Graham has been saying, how about $5 billion, but we also include work permits for Dreamers. But there's been no deal yet. The new Congress does start this week, so that could shake things up a little. Nancy Pelosi will be Speaker of the House, and she says she'll hold a vote on a spending bill that does not include any wall funding. If that passes, it'll move on to the Senate and then the president.
Thanks, Marielle. And let's do the numbers. Asian markets closed out 2018 mixed, with the Shanghai Composite Index up 0.4%, almost 11 points. The Nikkei ended down 0.3%. The FTSE in London is right now at about 0.1% down about 10 points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are looking up between 0.8% and 0.9% this morning. Those markets seem to be getting a boost after President Trump suggested over the weekend, via Twitter, of course, that there has been some progress in trade talks with China. That ongoing trade dispute is one of many factors that will weigh on how the markets perform in 2019. For more on the geopolitical forces that will shape the global economy in the coming year, I'm joined by Riva Gujon. She's Vice President of Global Analysis at Stratfor, which issues an annual report on these trends. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
If you had to pick one thing, what would you say is going to be the biggest factor affecting the global economy in 2019?
Well, at the highest level, a great power competition is really the defining element of the international system. That's principally playing out between the United States and China. Russia is also riding China's coattails to a degree and challenging the U.S.-led order as its own arms race with the U.S. escalates. That's going to put middle powers like Europe, Japan, India in a very awkward and reactive position as they try to stay on neutral ground. But really, the U.S.-China competition is going to be the center of gravity for 2019, and there is plenty more room for escalation on that front.
And escalation can also mean volatility. And volatility is a term that comes up a lot in your forecast. Where do you see that having the most impact?
Well, in the U.S.-China dynamic, remember, trade is just one pillar of the broader competition. And China's trying its best to maintain a truce through low-hanging fruit concessions. You know, we're seeing this relative calm through offers of agricultural LNG purchases, intellectual property protections, some market access. The point is, none of that's really new. And this negotiation will inevitably hit another big wall. And so the White House stands ready to slap another round of tariffs on China.
Much of what you highlight in your report, from Brexit and trade and other issues, relates a lot to sort of these political unknowns playing out in the global economy. Other than the U.S.-China trade debate, where else do you think sort of these political unknowns are really going to affect the global economy?
Well, other big items on the trade front include this U.S. showdown with the WTO that will be featured in 2019. And frankly, the White House is not going to put stock in a multilateral trading organization that rules by consensus. And in fact, the WTO is cramping the White House's negotiating style of bilateral deal making, where the U.S. can try to pull coercive tactics to get a deal on its terms. So For 2019, I think there's a very real possibility that the U.S. drives the WTO's appellate body, essentially the Supreme Court of the WTO, into paralysis by the end of the year by blocking judges that the below the required three needed to arbitrate cases. That effectively means that countries would be forced onto a bilateral track to settle their trade frictions, which leads to a lot more uncertainty in the global trading environment.
Riva Gujan is Vice President of Global Analysis at Stratfor. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
December 31st is coming up fast, and that means time is running out to support Marketplace and to make your gift go twice as far. Donate today at marketplace.org to invest in news you value and trust, and your contribution in any amount will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at Candida. Thank you so much for your generosity.
Things are looking up for independent bookstores. The American Booksellers Association says there's nearly 31% more indie bookstores than there were a decade ago. This renaissance coincides with the collapse of national book chains. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more on what's behind the turnaround.
The early to mid-2000s were rocky for independent bookstores. Just ask Jeff Deutsch. He runs two indie shops on the south side of Chicago. He says back then, book buyers preferred Amazon and the big book chains like Borders.
Combined, we've lost more than two-thirds of our sales.
But Deutsch says both stores have sold a lot more books in the past 5 years. Oren Tyker heads the American Booksellers Association. He says one reason indie shops are thriving is because they've sort of become the good guys of the book world.
People understand that those dollars they spend locally recirculate in the community.
Indies cement those positive vibes by becoming informal community centers, hosting events like local author talks and open mics. One threat to bookstores, though, it's almost because of their success as neighborhood anchors. Ryan Raffaelli teaches at Harvard.
As that city block becomes more and more popular, then the land prices go up.
Raffaelli says the main reasons bookstores close? Rent and labor costs, which are both rising. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.